This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information.
Hello there. Thanks for joining us. We are here again with the shower door professionals. Here in the Zoom room, on the call, people are piling in. There's still room for a couple more. We got a couple seats open. So if you haven't been in here on the Zoom call with us before, you're welcome to join us. Just click on the old hyperlink and Zoom right on in to the room and we'll chat. Yeah, you know, the latest newsletter's gone out. I hope you got that. If you haven't got it, you probably didn't sign up for it, but you can if you'd like. There will be links flying, you know, in the chat room and all over the place. So you can check that out. Also, we're kind of, you know, putting together this list. We talked about last week, just kind of gaining an interest in how we might network. So I know that there's some work that's been put into that. So, just kind of seeing who's would want to be involved in something like that. Nothing official yet, but we will keep you posted as things develop. And I think they may develop rapidly. So, we will keep you apprised. Hey, I'm really happy to have Greg Stoll with us again this evening. You know, he came on, was our guest host back in like January or something, did this talk on knowing your numbers. And I'll tell you what, that was a super popular podcast. I think that got maybe more views than any other video we put up. It was just fascinating. Chock full of tons of info. And so I just reached out to Greg a couple weeks ago, said, hey, man, would you be willing to come on and talk to us again? I know you've got some pearls that you didn't drop on the last one. And he just graciously accepted my invitation. And so I want to have you help me give a warm welcome. To Greg. Hey, Greg, I'm going to turn it over to you. It's all yours.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a good presentation last time. And I think what's good about it is that I kind of started out as the small glass shop. We were a commercial glass shop, but we segued to a shower door glass shop. So we basically started from zero on the shower door side. And now we've grown and we're kind of in that middle range. We're bigger than most glass shops, but smaller than the amazing organization that the Dobbins have built. So we're kind of in between, but having been at that zero spot fairly recently, it's fun to watch the business grow and the key things that I've learned over those last 15 years to get us to this point. And I'd say the one we talked about last time was know your numbers, and that was how to determine your cost of goods sold, your direct labor, how that applies to your overhead, and how you can grow your business once you know those numbers. So at the end of that, and I got a lot of good feedback on that, which was great, because so many small glass shops kind of just they don't know how to go to the next level. They want to grow and they kind of have bought themselves a job where they're working in the business every day. They don't know how to get to the next level. So that was what that presentation was about, to give a foundation there. But one of the slides at the end of the presentation actually generated a tremendous amount of feedback, more so than the presentation itself. So I'm going to see if I can share the screen and we'll bring that slide up. We can bring it up. Let me know if it comes in. Should be there. Is it on the screen? So if you guys can see that, at the very end of my presentation, I kind of had a throwaway slide and I said, the biggest profit killer in the glass business is we have to go back to that job. And the two things that I think that hold back small glass shops from getting bigger, one is knowing your numbers of, you know, what are my costs? How do I grow? How do I get cash? How do I just grow my business and be more financially successful. And you got to know your numbers, but this is the one that really changed our business tremendously. And that was when we stopped being a company that kept going back to the job. And so this is Know Your Numbers Part Two, the go back monster and how to tame it. So what happens with the go back monster? We were like so many other glass shops when we started doing shower doors. About half of our showers didn't go in at first. Now, some of you may go quietly go, well, that's kind of where we're at now. And some of you go, thank goodness we're not there anymore. We're closer to 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. 4 out of 5 go in the first time. But what happens is because when you start in the shower door business, you start in the go back business. You're learning the business. So you don't know, oh crap, the decorative tile shouldn't have put the hinge there. Oh crap, the door swing hit the commode or whatever foolish mistakes we've all made over the years. But the go back culture is created and it's tolerated. It is a sneaky thief of company profits of huge magnitudes. And if you have a 50 to 60% completion rate, you are throwing away thousands of dollars a year, thousands of dollars a year. And the culture that becomes normalized, it's so easily normalized because that's how it's always been. That's how there's how many times have we heard there's so many moving parts in a shower. The fabricator's got to get it right. The hinges got to be right. The cutouts have to be right. Measurement had to be right. God forbid somebody had a quarter inch outage backwards. You heard this in the glass business and just about every business. We do it nice because we do it twice. Or the worst one, we do it nice because we do it thrice. We've all been there. And we make that joke because it's painful to do things 2 or 3 times.
Ain't that the truth?
And as we always say, there's never time to do it right, but there's always time to do it again. So how expensive is the go back monster on your payroll? How do you actually put a dollar figure on what the go back monster costs you? And what is the definition of a go back monster? That is we're talking showers. That's a shower you go to put in and you can't finish it. Oh, we put the C-pole handle on the truck and it's a square handle and we didn't have a spare. We got to go back. Oh, the outage is backwards. We need to fabricate a new piece of glass. Oh, the sliding door somehow is on the wrong side. That got missed in the change from the builder. Got to make both pieces of glass because of the outages. So those are all go back monsters. And you have to figure out what that is. And we've come to the conclusion that every unfinished job costs you half an installation. And I think we're being conservative. And I think most people don't think it costs them that much. They think, well, we'll just go back out. We'll put the towel bar on Friday. Or we'll just remake that piece. But what happens is the opportunity cost is gone too. Mm-hmm. So the guys get out to the job and they call that dreaded phone call 30 minutes after they've left. Yeah, we're at the job. There's a problem. What's the problem? Well, I think that we're not sure. We think the outage is back. We think there's a measuring mistake. We're not sure. Okay, you figure out you can't put the door in. Now what do you do with that crew? Well, maybe they can put a mirror in. We got that other job we have to wrap up. Why don't we send them over to that one? So boom, what's your average job? Ours is a little more than $2,000 for just a shower, for a frameless shower. We'll say the average job is $2,000. So each go back costs you $1,000. And I am being conservative. So if you put in 2 jobs a day and half of them you need to go back to, at the end of the week, you gave up $5,000 in income. That's $250,000 a year for $1 million glass shop. And $1 million glass shop is not a strange number that nobody's ever heard of. That's 10 showers a week at $2,000 a pop. You are throwing away $250,000 in income. And you say, well, Greg, that doesn't sound right for only $1 million. You tell me I'm going to find $250,000? Yes, you are. And you're going to find it because you would have put in either $1.1 million or maybe you would have put in $900 million and not had to go back twice. Because you literally had to put in more product because of all the go backs. Have you ever heard of the glass shops that are like, yeah, Friday's our cleanup day. Friday's our cleanup day. That's our profit giveaway day is what Friday is. And what's amazing about the go back culture is that because you started out that way, it seems okay. And it doesn't seem that bad. And you are in an industry where everybody in front of you goes back. Mm-hmm. So the customer is not shocked and angry most of the time. They kind of shrug. Yep. Oh, they didn't finish the shower today. One of the pieces didn't fit. It's supposed to be matte black. They brought gold. Fabricator screwed up a panel. So what happens is there's this culture of the plumber didn't show up on time. The tile got back ordered. Something happened on the install. The electrical didn't get done right. We've all heard the stories from our homeowners, the old remodeling line. The remodel takes twice as long and costs twice as much as what was originally thought. So the key is for you to put your product in right the first time. I said this is a conservative number and does not count reputation hit. Some people are very understanding. Mm-hmm. But when you don't finish the shower, are you excited to get the 5-star Google review afterwards? You know, you're probably not getting it. They might if you go back and really are nice, but there's a reputation hit when you don't finish your installs. Because you don't have to actually write a check for each mistake, that $1,000 each time, it doesn't feel that painful. We'll just do that job on Friday. We'll just do it on Saturday. I'll come in Saturday. I'll finish that job up. That way we can keep going. But what invariably happens is you actually take a look at your schedule, which you could fill with showers that you would complete on time, and you leave holes in the schedule for go backs. And what you're doing is basically substituting revenue generating showers for service calls. The insidious go back monster strikes again. So how do you defeat the go back monster? How do you go from half your showers going in to a much, much higher percentage?
That's what I'm wanting to know.
See, Chris, I like the break in the humor. I probably sound too serious. I apologize.
I thought you'd never ask.
I'm passionate about this one because so many glass companies, even if you don't know all your numbers, if you fix your completion percentage, you will start looking at your bank account and going, holy cow, the bank account's growing. Mm-hmm. And it's because you put product in the first time. So you determine your current completion percentage. This is the total number of jobs divided by the number of jobs completed over a defined time frame. And rather than just tell you all this stuff, I said, I'm going to share my numbers tonight for October. How many of you count your months of work based on number of install days or work days? So that's something I do. I think most people do. So for instance, October has how many days? 22. You guys should know that number right off the bat. How many days do you have? Because unless you're installing every Saturday, you should know how many install days you have, how much product you put in on an average day, and you can take a look at what you're going to do in production. So here's our numbers. This is for the first 12 days of the month. So I had Jessica in my office put together this information. So this is the first 12 days. This does not count today. Everything went in today. We have 137 showers that were scheduled to go in. 132 of those went in the first time. No go backs. I'm not saying, well, we had a handle. I didn't count that one. No. 132 out of 137 went in the first time. 5 go backs. 96% completion percentage. 28 mirrors. We don't like doing mirrors. 26 installed, 2 go backs, 92%. Those are our numbers for October. Now imagine if you were a company that had 137 showers and you only put in 70 showers and you had 67 on the cleanup. I'm not sure if we have a cleanup shower to do right now. Maybe one, maybe two. How many cleanup showers do you have right now? And I don't want to ask the Dobbins that because his numbers are probably even better. Really, really good.
What's a cleanup?
A cleanup would be go back. So a go. Oh. You know, so I apologize for using the same sharing the same phrase, meaning two things. A cleanup is a go back. A cleanup could be wrong handle, wrong clamp. The shower was supposed to get a towel bar and it got a regular handle. So you put the handle on, woman has a functional shower, but now you have to go back with a new door and a new towel bar. That's a go back. Now you think how much that costs you. That's not $1,000. You got to buy a new door and put it back on. And remember, the crew, you, the major thing is you now took away an install. You took away a $2,000 revenue generating install because you didn't finish those jobs. That's the, does every, I don't mean to sound unclear about it, but if one crew puts in five showers, they bill $10,000. If the other crew puts in three and has to go back on the other two, they put in $6,000. And those other two, they can't just, it's like a hotel room. When the night goes and it's rented and they lose, it's not rented, you can't go back in time and get the revenue. So when you lose that install date, you either have to install on Saturdays to make up for it, which again, you could be installing fresh product, or you look at it and you go, my goodness, my dollars per crew is too low. So 96%, we like 96%. We're happy with it. We know where our mistakes are, but this is a vast improvement over where we were. So I would encourage you, whether you do 13 showers in the first 12 days of October or five showers, measure your go backs because it is costing you a fortune. And it's, and the customer doesn't even get any benefit out of it. What it does is it just, you spend extra money, more labor, more materials for the same job. So how do you do this? So that I was just sharing you our numbers. How do you do this? You start measuring your mistakes. There are four categories of mistakes. I've talked about this before. There's measuring mistakes. There's checking mistakes. There's fabrication mistakes. And there's installation mistakes. Everybody knows the measuring mistake. We've all made them. What are good examples of measuring mistakes?
Having a Harbor Freight tape measure.
That's a good one.
I've seen some of you guys have some of those. I'm like, oh God, it's such embarrassing.
Common measuring mistakes, outages measured backwards.
Yep.
Buttress heights mismeasured. You're looking at the tape because the buttress is half, you tilt your head to the side and you take a look and you see 35 and 7/8, but it's 36 and an eighth. It's an eighth on the side of 36. You read it on the back side of 36. Checking mistakes.
Yeah.
Fabric checking mistakes where you're turning the correct measure sheet into an order and you screw it up. It gets fabricated the way exactly how you asked and it's wrong. A fabrication mistake. We fabricate our own stuff, but if you guys order fabricated product, when that fabricated product comes in, I know why I fabricate now is because it was frustrating to buy fabricated product and get it right. The error rate was very high and we had to spend so much time checking that stuff. And then installation mistakes. We've seen those. What are some doozies on installation? Have you ever installed the shower door in the wrong bathroom?
I was a rookie.
Cracking a tile. You know, sometimes that's the tile installation. But again, these are things that we take responsibility for. So there are four categories of mistakes. I wouldn't try to make the categories any larger than that.
So you guys take, do you take responsibility for faulty tile installation?
We do. Unless it's glass. We have a disclaimer on glass, but we do. We do not argue with people. That's part of advertising. You know, you've actually got Know Your Numbers Part 3. You know, losing the battle, winning the war, which is we don't ever argue about tile ever. Yep, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. And then they get tile.
I have it in my terms and conditions that for faulty tile work, we don't cover it. But if it's something that we did wrong, then I'll cover it. But if it's faulty tile, I won't do it.
Yep. So then we meet as a group to fix it. And that's painful. If you've ever tried to meet as a group to fix company problems, that can be very painful. How not to fix it. Vague blanket statement says everyone needs to pay more attention. You ever heard this one? Everyone needs to start paying more attention. Or assigning blame to the person further down the line who didn't catch the first person's mistake. That's very common. Where you get mad at the guy who didn't catch the other person's mistake. The first person made a mistake on the finish on the hardware. And then the installer goes to put it in. Well, couldn't he tell it was brush nibble? That was a chrome. And that's what I call, it would be nice. Meaning it would be nice if the person down the line caught the first person's mistake, but we must assign the mistake to where it occurred. And again, this is not a crucifixion. It is not a beat down party. It's how do we fix it so that it doesn't happen again, or we minimize happening again. So here's mistake number one. As an example, John measures a Kerbal shower and all goes well on the front end. On the day of installation, the crew is nearing completion when the installer secures the door and then attempts to swing the door open. It drags and sticks. You guys have never measured a Kerbal shower and forgot to measure the outswing, have you? The crew returns to the shop and say a new door needs to be made with more clearance under the door. The boss is upset because the guys didn't check this first before drilling the fixed panel, as they might have been able to jack up the panel some to get it all to fit. Mm-hmm. Whose fault is this? 100% measuring? 50% measuring? 50% installation mistake? Maybe the installers could have saved the job if they had done a little more prep work and instead just started in on the installation?
50.
You know whose fault this is? Measuring. It would have been nice if the installers caught it. But if you actually have your installers out there remeasuring the showers before they put them in, after you've already paid someone to go out and measure it properly.
Good point.
Although it would have been nice if the next group caught the mistake lies solely with the measuring tech. The installer should be able to count on their measuring techs to get this right at the time of measure. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be aware. That doesn't mean your installer should go in blindly and just start drilling holes with abandon. It does mean that the mistake, in order to get fixed, you need to step back and get it right. Solution. What did we do? We added the curbless outswing field to the measure sheet, so the tech must fill it out. If your measure sheets look like a bunch of hen scratches, which ours did for years, ours are a series of fields that you fill out. And they're kind of just an outgrowth. If you've ever seen the ones from Cardinal or somebody like that, where you fill out the fields of the hinge and the style and the thickness and the clear glass and the metal, our measure sheets continue to grow, and we fill it out so that there's as little handwritten notes as possible. There are handwritten notes when there's some special thing that we have to, that's not in one of our fields, but we keep adding fields for that. So for eliminating measuring mistakes, standardize your measure sheets. Fill in the blank fields will make it more likely to get it right instead of just trying to remember it and to write it down. Measure sheets that look like, and I see them sometimes on shower door professionals, the guys will post a thing and here's my measure sheet. And I get it, we were there too. But if you want to get to the next level, if you want to get your go back number down, you need to standardize them. And the fabricators have already given you a heads up. You know, like I remember we used to look at the Cardinal measure sheets and then you customize them and make them your own. But find those mistakes, the buttress heights. We measure our buttress heights twice now. Once, and then they finish the measure and they measure them again. Mm-hmm. Mistake number two, a customer sends an email changing their hardware from chrome to matte black. And they CC two people in the office to make sure the change is received. Each office person assumes the other is entering the change to the order. Luckily, the truck has a set of matte black hardware on the truck, but you discover there's a rope hook and offset hinges on this job, of course. So you install the shower with some black and chrome. Mixed metals are all the rage. Apologize to the customer and tell them you'll have to come back. This is a checking mistake. This is not the driver's mistake because he didn't have offset hinges on his truck. Although if you stock them, then he certainly shares some of the burden that he didn't stock the hinges to help you. But this is a checking mistake. Somebody assumes somebody else would add that to the order. And what we do is when a quote is created and then modified, there must be a Bible. We call it our Bible, or single document where all changes are incorporated. So what that document does is it basically all changes end up there. So if somebody gets an email and says, change it to matte black, boom, it goes to that document. It doesn't get printed off and put in a folder and printed off and put in a folder with 17 other changes. And then of course, at the time of order, I know you guys do this because everybody says they do, which I'm not making fun. I know they do, but a walkthrough confirmation with the client needs to confirm these details at time of order using the document. And you know, sometimes you do a confirmation with the builder. Yeah. That's why it's so important to make sure you've got the details right as it goes. Just a few of the hundreds of changes we've made, double measure buttress heights, like I've said. We take pictures of every job at Measure and store them in Dropbox. And Keith mentioned Dropbox the other day. If you guys aren't using Dropbox or some storage, that's where all our Measure sheets go. If you say to me, Greg, can you find me a Measure sheet from 2 years ago? Yep, I can find it in about 60 seconds. And the picture of the job. Lots of times when we're checking the order, we have a question that only a photo can answer. And we don't assume, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. You ever had like a P190 heavy duty clamp on a return, only they built it out a little bit and then the clamp overhangs? Those are painful. We wrap and protect the glass corners and edges. So we fabricate our own glass. You're like, well, why are you wrapping your own glass? Because it's just the amount you handle glass. So we wrap corner protectors and shrink wrap on the ends. Eliminated a lot of Harper X scratches. Our fabricators who polished glass scratches out thanked us profusely. And of course, this is an old one, stock enough hardware to bail you out even when the customer forgot to tell you the change, which we know that happens. Yep, brush nickel, you get out of the job, it's chrome. And we stock our trucks with spare hardware. And we stock that hardware in the shop. So even if we have to drive it out, we will. So don't be afraid to spend money on inventory. When fixing mistakes, criticism is hard. So what you're going to find when you go to put in these changes, that people are going to be defensive. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, well, that really wasn't me. And then you'll leave the meeting and then they were grumbling and they And your job, if you've got a crew of two or three or six or whatever, is to make sure they understand this is not about individuals. This is about developing systems to fix the problem. You need to create a culture of stamping out the go backs. And I would create I would create actual number goals. And I would find out, like if I asked everybody here, and it's not to put anybody on the spot, nobody's going to answer me anyway, what is your completion percentage of showers? Could you tell me what it is? And if you can't, I bet it's higher than you think it is. So start measuring your improved completion percentage. So if you're at 50, set a goal of 60. 60, set a goal of 70. And then start enjoying your improved profit percentage. Mm. This is found money. This is so much easier than buying hinges and bolts, which you can do. This is so much easier than trying to speed up your installations. This is so much easier than trying to figure out how to maximize dollars any other way. This is where the money's hiding in your company if you don't have a good completion percentage. That's it.
Wow. Nicely done.
I hope that did not sound.
Oh, it's my phenomenal. Wife
says I can sound lectury sometimes. I hope that was passionate, not lectury.
I liked Greg, the monster metaphor. It was a great job.
The monster metaphor. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's actually, appreciate all your effort in that.
Well, it is one of those things. If you are measuring, if you're not, I think most people don't believe me, and I'm not offended. They just don't believe it when I say, yeah, you're a million-dollar company. You're throwing away over $200,000 a year. They don't believe it. They do not believe it. Because they're like, if it was that easy, I'd go get it. It's there. It's shockingly there. And when you start putting in showers correctly the first time at a high level, your bank account will go up. And you'll be like, wow, we didn't really change much. I highly recommend. I think
part of our problem, Greg, is that we have a tendency to, we take on some really tough jobs out there. And I think we do a good job with the hard ones. You know, we had one today, it was pretty hard. It was just getting a huge panel upstairs. And then, you know, another problem is doing jobs that's a little bit further out than we should be going, you know. Mm-hmm. And those things are killer. It's almost like having to go to a job twice because you got a crew of two guys that are going to take most of their day on one job when they could have done two, you know?
Right. Exactly right. So you either have to charge for that service and it's hard to make enough money when you could have put in two showers or sell more product in that area. So that is a difficult thing of developing exactly how big a ring do you want to go. I don't know how far people here go. We go probably, and we've got one location. So we'll go probably an hour and a half, 2 hours away. Ooh. But we do enough business that we actually can make it work. But again, we know it's going to go in. Now, see, I've jinxed myself. We're reasonably assured that it's going to go in right the first time. But if you want to make your install circle half an hour or an hour, wow, you'll be crushing it. Mm-hmm. And if you're taking on specialty projects, I would just be, we have a saying called arts and crafts projects. And you don't make money on arts and crafts projects. Now, there are some with designers and you want to make money, but you want to make sure you've priced in the special attention and time. You don't want to be pricing a job for a designer with special hardware that you had to custom order, or they ordered it from Italy and you have to install it and you've got no markup on. I mean, all that costs money. And I think sometimes people are afraid when they work on those super custom jobs to charge accordingly. And it's not extortion. It's not punishment. It's not I'll show them. It's this is what it costs to be part of this project for the time that you want. We've all had the customer that you quote it and then they come back for 6 redesigns and then they question your pricing. And you're like, well, actually, you've spent another 10 hours in my design time, so I have to raise the price another $1,000. And they've already got the price a long time ago. So trying to pick those out ahead of time is difficult.
Bill just said that mistake meetings are opportunities so that everyone can benefit. And he's right completely about that. And I think in your last meeting about know your numbers and ending in that slide, it was really popular and it hit us really hard. So we actually have a meeting weekly about all sorts of things with the whole team, but we measure our go backs now because of your know your numbers meeting last time.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't tell them where I live, did you?
No, but we are so fortunate to have just an incredible crew. I mean, our guys are excellent. We love them. They take their jobs very seriously. They're very proud of what they do and very passionate about what they do. They want to be the best. And so they listen and they never want to make a mistake. And they're just so attentive. And our numbers have changed dramatically because of the meeting we have every week, because of your meeting, Know Your Numbers, that we had with you guys earlier this year. So really appreciate your help.
It's amazing how much product you can put in when you don't have to go back and finish it later. It is shocking. And I know I'm beating the dead horse, but it is amazing when you see what you can actually bill.
Greg, and it allowed to do, sorry, Bill, it's just allowed us to do really fun projects too and spend time and get that extra profit on those really cool projects as well. So go ahead, Bill, sorry.
What's up? Greg, I was just going to say your 4 categories of go backs, you could probably add a 5th there that you didn't talk about. And those are things out of your control. For instance, painters showed up, your guys could work. They're paving the driveway, blocking the road off.
Floors are stained.
No electricity. Customer had a doctor appointment, forgot about it. And your guys are sitting there twiddling their thumbs and can't get in. It's not their fault, it's not your fault, but it's an expensive go back. And rarely do you back charge the customer. Rarely do you do it.
Yeah. And I'm always a big fan of not expanding the category. So I'd probably put that in the checking category, which means that when you assign it a category, now you can assign the crew to fix it. So when we say that's a checking mistake, an initial reaction will be, what do you mean? Checking didn't do anything wrong. They stained the floors. They said they weren't going to stain them to the following week. Well, maybe you incorporate a standard system where you make the phone call the day before, where you can actually change the truck. Like you say, it's nobody's fault, but it is a way to, it still prevents you from making your money. It still prevents you from getting the install in. So it's just as bad as a go back because you can say, well, it really wasn't our fault, but you're right. But I would, since I'm this is one of, you've hit on a pet peeve of mine, the expansion of categories. And I would try to shoehorn it into one of those other categories. So I would call it checking, meaning have checking, in this case, check with the job site ahead of time and not the builder, the job super. Get a hold of the job super and confirm that the floor is not going to be stained and there'll be nothing in the way. Because we've seen a lot of plumbers in the bathrooms, stained floors, painters. You've seen.
Yeah, that's why I like homeowners, because they know what's going on in their jobs, and they're pretty truthful about the situation. They want you to get there and they want you to be able to work. So we don't have that problem with homeowners, but that's a big problem with new construction. It's real frustrating. And those are the questions that I used to ask the builders all the time. Is there anybody else that's going to be there that's going to be interfering, like hardwoods or concrete guys, or, you know, I start picking at it. And hopefully, you know, hopefully my people are doing the same thing. But
yep. And I think the point of the categories is because what you're going to find out when you start measuring on the go backs is that one of the categories is going to jump out at you. And it's either going to be measuring or checking.
Yep.
And those are the two that are going to jump out at you. And because, you know, you're checking an order sometimes seems like a burden, you know, like, oh, I got to check that order before I go home, or, and well, I think that's true. And you go through it quickly. And of course, that's one place you don't want to rush. So I think the point of categorizing those mistakes right away and identifying them is so that you can attack the low hanging fruit. And, you know, you may have a measuring tech who needs help, or maybe the measuring tech should be doing something else or in the company. That's not their skill set. We know measuring is a skill. Some people have it and some it's a struggle. So that's why I love measuring those mistakes, not so people can defend themselves and push it off on another category, but because you can solve the problem through systems.
Mm-hmm. For us, checking and fabrication are kind of related because all the glass that comes in from Oldcastle, we are checking all the measurements. We're checking for scratches, pits, baked trash into the glass. I mean, all kinds of stuff that goes wrong, you know. And we did have one this week that it just, I just can't believe it, because we do check all the measurements almost. This one, they obviously didn't check, and the notch on a knee wall was on the glass was cut a quarter inch wrong. And it was just enough to keep us from doing that job.
And the truth is the customer doesn't care if it's you or Oldcastle.
You're right.
And some people will be like, they'll stand at the job and go, sorry, the fabricator screwed up. You know, we checked their work, but they just aren't what they used to be. That doesn't bolster confidence in the customer. You know, they passing the mistake off to a supplier. You chose the supplier, not the customer. So, and I'm not beating you up. That's what we use. I mean, it's a constant struggle with fabricators. So there's a lot of burdens to fabricating your own stuff, but there's certainly some freedom. So in your case, yeah, you have to check it all.
Hey, and Greg, are you guys doing your own deductions, or are you using a software program?
Software. Yeah.
All right. So you ever get order entry where, is it the measuring person that puts it into the software, or office staff, like data entry?
Office staff puts in our quotes.
No. In the software. They'll take the dimensions off your takeoff sheet and then put it into fabrication to make the glass.
Yes, except there's a step in between called checking. So let's say I come to your house and I measure. It goes into the Dropbox. I mark it complete on our software. The office says, oh, look, Greg finished that measure. They jump in, the picture's in there and the measure sheet's in there. And then they put it in the software, the design, and it's automatically priced, of course. And then they send it off. Customer says, right. I'll take it.
Right.
Then a different person checks the order at time of deposit. So your order, your quote turns into an order. Now it's going to be checked. So now all the dimensions, the outages, everything that's on that measure sheet is going to be checked over, because when it got put in as a quote, maybe it went in a little fast. Maybe they put the eighth inch in as an eighth inch out, or worse, the 3/8 in as a 3/8 out. We know that's not going to fit. So yes, that's when the checking phase occurs. And yes, we try when we do the quote to get it all in there right the first time. But the checking process, because invariably something might've changed. They changed the handle, they changed the finish, et cetera.
Does anybody have a full-time checker?
Yeah,
somebody, we do. You do? Okay. Almost.
My full-time checker is also the one that applies the coatings.
Nice. So while you're
checking the glass, that's
smart.
What we're able to charge on coatings is enough to justify a full-time checker. And that full-time checker is also one that loads the carts for the next day's installation.
Right. That he doesn't have, he's full-time checker, but he has other duties as well. But when you're, were you, Christy, were you talking about order checking in the paper phase or checking completed fabricated glass?
In the ordering phase, we have, my cousin works part-time remote and he's able to check all of our deductions, the design, just make sure there's nothing crazy before it goes to fabrication. And that's made a huge world of difference. It's just, and it prevents the rest of us from getting number fatigue. Maybe I'm just making that up, but like, I know if I'm exhausted at the end of the day, I'm going to make a mistake.
Yeah. And that's where checking finds its way into the schedule when you don't have somebody dedicated to it. And it happens to us as well sometimes where, you know, the orders came in heavy that day and something else happened. So checking took a back seat. And then, oh, look at that. It's like a stack of library books. You're like, oh, great. I got to check all this stuff. And you're exactly right. That's the wrong time to, because checking is so critical. That's where a lot of money's made or lost.
I would never wish an injury on anybody, but if anybody's guys get injured or something and they need some office work, like a checklist and checking stuff would be a good idea, I think, for go back to prevent go backs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes the guys don't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, like for someone on light duty, right? You're saying, yeah, that's a good idea.
So, Christine, are you measuring your completion percentage yet, or you're not going to share that number with us?
We measure it weekly and it changes weekly. Kind of depends. I don't know it because I've been out of town for the last 4 days. And that's a fabulous question. I know it's gone up since the last time you had this meeting. And it's been excellent. I think a lot of them recently have been like homeowner foibles, like forgetting the appointment, paving the driveway, you know, stuff like that. We've gotten a lot of stuff like that.
That's Bill's list, you know, the what I'd call checking, but Bill would add a fifth category.
Oh, you know, sometimes they you check with them and then they still have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Well, and then there's like some really random stuff. Like we installed a brushed bronze, like Cambridge equivalent from FHC. And it was, no, I think it was from CRL. And it was stunning. But it's a little more frosted than the handles themselves are. They have a more brushed finish. And, you know, the customer wanted the handle to match. And so we had to go get the brushed bronze from Structures. You know, it's just really, really fine detail. But that matters. And to 99% of people, it wouldn't. But that's a go back, you know?
And that's, and everybody's experiencing the gold problem right now. And that is it's a patchwork of suppliers to come up with the golds that you need. And you can't use this header with the other company's clamps. So if you buy CRL's clamps, you might have to use FHC's clamps with the FHC brush bronze header. So there's a lot of, you're right. And that almost has to be documented in a way that, okay, the customer wants it. Cause you know, some of the hardware is not available. So they go, oh, I don't want the header. Oh, that opens up a whole bunch of changes. Because some of the hardware is not available and then you're back to a different supplier. So yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Same thing with brush nickel. Different suppliers are just the colors are a little bit different and the brush lines are different. Mm-hmm. You just got to know your suppliers and what you get from them.
And if you're lucky enough, bring in your own hardware.
Or they force your hand to do that, which is what our case was.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Greg, how long ago was it that this dawned on you and you began checking this?
I don't think it was really a financial incentive. I think it was more of a sick of it incentive. And I think when we first started, I think it was because we were so green, probably one shower a day for a crew. And so we have four crews and we put in, what, 132 showers in 12 business days. So I don't even know what that is. 3 to 4 a day per crew. So you're putting in stuff and you have to, and I, you know, small business, I make the call. Mrs. Jones, I'm sorry. The installers are at the job. Give Mrs. Jones the phone. Hi, Mrs. Jones. This is Greg, the owner. I am so sorry. We're going to take care of this. There was an issue with blah, 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 whatever it is. You don't want to lie, but you kind of sugarcoat a little bit and then we'll take care of you. And then you expedite the piece and you know what you do. And the time and the money. And it's so, I just got so tired of it. And I said, there's got to be a better way. And You know, my brother runs a bigger business than I do, so he usually lectures me quite regularly and appropriately on things that I need to improve. And this was one of them, because he ran a cabinet company with the same thing, where they would have a half-finished kitchens with that needed three doors and two drawers. And so I got an appropriate suggestion from him on how to improve my business. So, and it just made all the difference. And it made a bigger difference than I could ever have imagined, ever.
And now, how long ago was this? Was this like 5 years ago?
We started doing showers about 12 or 13 years ago.
Okay.
And we were doing maybe one a day. Then we went up to two a day. And then once we got our systems in place with the standardized measure sheets, made a huge difference. And now you're stamping out problems after that. I would say if you do not have a standardized measure sheet, you're just begging for trouble. We were, and we did. Get your standardized measure sheets. And just, we put ours on the iPad. Doesn't matter if they're paper or not, just have them standardized. And when you change them, add a field, add the curb outswing field, add the heated floor checklist. How many notes are you making on your thing by hand? Customer wants 28 door. Make sure outswing is okay. Make sure the handle's at 38 inches. You got a whole page full of notes instead of if you had a fill in the blank one, you're going to make fewer mistakes. So it was actually frustration, Chris, the long-winded answer. And that, because I was tired of apologizing and wanted to do and knew there had to be a better way. And then stumbled on the fact that you can actually stop throwing away money. And it's all you, it's all on you. You don't have to go search for a new hinge supplier to save you, you know, $2 a hinge. This is all in your control to fix. And it's amazing. And my peddlers locally haven't figured it out, which is advantageous.
That's okay with you, huh?
That's okay with me. That's okay with me. They think it's part of the culture, and they think this is how it is. And the customer's like, yeah. Oh, the tile was back ordered too. Yeah, I understand. And yet that's where all the money is going. All the profit that would have been there is gone on go-backs.
So you don't have to play along if you don't want to.
Right.
So I guess what I'm trying to get around to is like, so when you started measuring this, mm-hmm. Do you remember like what your numbers were like?
What did we do for volume? I think.
No, I mean, as far as go backs, like what your percentage, what your success.
We would take us a day to put in more.
50-50?
Yeah, a 50-50 at best.
Wow.
At
best. Yeah.
And I know, Chris, you've been doing this a long time, so you're thinking, oh my God, I couldn't survive if it was 50. But
No, I don't know. That's about what I do, about 50.
you don't have the silicone, so you don't have to.
I'm all by myself, though, here. I mean, it's like, you know, when you're the same, when you got the same guy measuring and installing, you know, it's like there's a lot of opportunities to make mistakes and nobody to check them.
If you don't cheat your measuring because you're just cheating yourself. Well, that one was really the customer confused us on that one. So that's not our fault. That's not us. Did you have to go back? Did you lose an install? Because if you did,
every time you go back, you go back. I mean, it's
every time you go
like
back.
You said, I mean, you said it brilliantly. You know, I mean, you lose not just that, but, you know, the opportunity that you would have had. And then the cost of whatever you're replacing. And not only do you have to put it in, but you got to take the old one out too. And then there's the opportunity of like breaking something or chipping something or scratching something. You know, I mean, every time you handle glass, it's one too many times pretty much. You know?
We've all had this. You come in the office and for some, you know, you're talking and you had to go back to the Smith job for the second time. And you come to the office and you look at the guy and he goes, problem. And you go, Smith job? Yep. Third time, fourth time. You're like, this is a cursed job. Mm-hmm. But we call the mistake on a mistake. And that is because now you're rushing the replacement piece. So, or that stupid wrong piece of paper with dimensions on it that should have been in the trash that somehow stayed with the job. And you can, and it doesn't want to go away, and you got to destroy it and remove it. And those are things that'll just curse you on job. So actively attacking your go backs and being honest with yourself. And even like Bill says, if it's the floor stain, it's a go back. And maybe you can't prevent all of them, but you can, if you make excuses instead of solve the problem, well, we just can't. Our market is different. I've heard that. Our market is different. It's not different. You may charge a little more, charge a little less, depending what market you're in, but your completion percentage is up to you. You know, I don't know how you guys, we buy fabrication. Do you schedule your showers before the glass arrives, or do you wait and check it? Wait and check it.
We do. Yeah.
Wow.
We schedule it on the day we sell it.
Right. Because you control the process. So, and we've beaten this one to death. I understand that you don't have enough confidence in your fabricator. So you aren't going to reschedule everything, because when the piece comes in, I used to have 20% failure when I was buying from fabrication houses, 20% mistake rate. So
I'm familiar with their mistake.
Yeah. Right. And because I'm still astounded. Occasionally we'll buy rain glass from somebody and I'll say, do you want us to send you a DXF? Oh no, don't send us a DXF. Just send us a drawing. I'm like, if I send you the DXF, I'm responsible. Plus I know it'll be probably right, because it's going to go right to the CAD. Nope. Send us the drawing. They're setting themselves up for failure. So yeah, I mean, you have to do that. You have to check their stuff when it comes in. It's another burden on you. No doubt about it. But you have to work with that environment unless you want to fabricate. That's the world you're in. So you gotta work with it.
You know, I like the idea of scheduling on the day that you place the order. I mean, I don't see why I couldn't do that. That's actually not a bad idea. I don't know why I'd never really thought of that. But if we're saying, yeah, it's 3 weeks out, like let's say we know we're 3 weeks out. Mm-hmm. You can pretty comfortably schedule an installation 3 weeks from now. You know, I'm pretty positive I could have it made and remade in that amount of time. And then that, you know, that date's blocked out on the calendar, and it's actually a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only problem is, Chris, if that becomes a go back, so you sell it, you schedule it three weeks out. Okay, they're going to wait 3 weeks, but if it's a go back, they're not going to wait another 3 weeks. So now you got to turn it around really quick. And then the funny part is, you do turn it around. If it's a glass problem and you get it turned around quick, they're going to say to themselves, why didn't you do that the first time? Why did I have to wait 3 weeks? He got it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, scheduling, you know. I mean, that's the other thing about it. If there is a go back, then, and you've got your calendars all full, then how do you fit in the go back?
You limit your go backs.
Just don't have them.
Just don't have them.
Just tell them it's good. You're imagining things.
Usually, when you send your measures out, you give them the pencils that they give you at the golf course. They don't have erasers on the back, and there's a reason for that. So that they can't make mistakes.
You can't lie.
Can't make.
That's why they do that at the golf course, Bill.
I know.
Because you schedule it so far in advance, do you have multiple reminder points for the appointments? Because
who are you asking?
You or anybody who schedules.
Yeah, so our CSR people will call them 3 days in advance to make sure they're still on the schedule, make sure they don't have a doctor appointment or a tea time. Right. And then the day before, and then they're checking, is there going to be a gate code, a key left somewhere, a housekeeper going to let us in? What's going to happen? So 3 days before and then 1 day before. But I've got people in the office that are set to schedule those. Yeah.
Nice.
We rather optimize on the trips than schedule in advance. Yeah, because we can install pretty quickly, but you know, sometimes most of our customers, they really like the fact that we're installing ahead of schedule. So, and we do that because we optimize by where we're going. So sometimes, let's say if we're doing an installation an hour away and a customer maybe ordered, you know, the day before, you know, we were able to like kind of maneuver, and then they get pretty happy.
Yeah, I guess so. But I like it when you do that.
What I pick up from Bill's comment, though, is he has a system.
Yeah.
3 days, 1 day.
Yeah.
That's his system.
Yeah. And everybody has their own system. And that's okay as long as you have a system.
Correct.
Because if you're going to scale, you need to use that system.
Correct.
It's when you try and scale without a system that it really blows up on you. It just amplifies your mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth?
Whether it's an Excel spreadsheet, Dropbox, whatever it is you use.
Whatever.
Use it, back it up. That's the other thing we got caught when, you know, if you're just putting it on Outlook and all of a sudden Outlook crashes and you don't even have a backup of it. So mm-hmm. when you start depending on computerized stuff, you better have backups.
Mm-hmm. Word.
And our photographs that we take when we measure, those are going to Dropbox. The installers are looking at them. So they know what they got the next day. And so it's really handy.
Here, here. Okay, who's got a question? I know you guys have questions. Don't be shy.
Hey, Greg, did you end up saving money on your tempering oven or not?
We did. Elben helped us. That's another thing that this group is good for. Our electric bill on our tempering oven went from $1,000 to almost $6,000 a month. And so it was really not nice. And so Elben helped us with the step up of the temperature in smaller increments, and it made a huge difference. As a matter of fact, we're running about 2700 right now. So thank you.
Not a problem. Good to hear.
Not all ovens can do that. You're lucky.
Oh, we do it by hand, Bill. We don't.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we do. And I love the Mappy, but yeah. You know, we do it in timing. And then, and of course, 1 month we had a piece we had to turn immediately.
Yep. Yeah, so it hurts.
Full power. So it was about $2,000 just to temper one piece of glass.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That's a go back in your bank account.
That's correct. But you know, builder account, got to get it done, closing, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So we'll do that.
You kind of amortize that cost, right? Over like.
Well, and that's. I'd be happy to be back, and I don't want to argue with Adrian, you know, anybody.
No, nobody wants to argue with Adrian.
No, but I mean, I would certainly, the Know Your Numbers chapter 3 would be, don't get in fights with your customers, set money aside in an advertising fund and use it. And the payoff will be enormous in reputation.
Advertising mm-hmm. is considered an advertising cost.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, if you set a budget up and you start using your budgets, put that some money into an advertising budget and a portion of that is used for that. Yeah.
Correct. So the woman has a cracked tile and you go, you know, some of these tiles are fragile. Some, you know, we may have cracked it. We apologize. Either way, we're not going to get an argument with you. We're going to replace it. But we got a tile guy, or we'll use your tile guy. Boom, boom, boom. Done. Oh, thank you so much. Done. Out of the job.
You guys have a tile guy. I'm sure that you use.
Yes. Right. Yep. And we've sent him a lot of work. So he's thrilled to help us out.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's never a question of who's going to pay, because Greg's going to pay. And the tile guy's comfortable. He's not going to go argue with the customer about it.
Right.
That's the other nice thing about that.
Yep. Exactly right.
Well, and what I like to tell our guys too is like, any kind of issue that might arise like that is actually an opportunity for us to show a customer our, you know, reputation and, mm-hmm. you know, earn 5 stars potentially. I mean, we would never probably ask at that point, but, you know, we've had tons of customers give us 5-star reviews because we didn't argue with them and we fixed the problem. And it's just so helpful. So.
Yep. Yep. And you'll find there's a certain percentage of people that do it. And that's all, and, you know, some want, they're out for blood. They see it as an opportunity to get a big discount, that type of thing. But at the end of the day, I'd rather have a few people take advantage than get in a fight mm-hmm. over stuff like that. It's just not worth it.
Okay. So I probably painted a picture wrong, but I do not argue with my customers.
Right. Like we believe.
Honestly, I rarely break tile, but when I do, I do investigate if it's a bad tile job. I do have a tile guy. And he'll go replace it. If it's a faulty tile, like they didn't do it right, then yeah, I won't pay for it. But if it's something that I did and it was on my stupidity, okay, fine, I'll replace it. No problem. But I'm not going to pay for somebody else's, you know, lack of workmanship because they decided you want to put enough mud or they want to put a little glob of, you know, mortar in the back of the tile and, you know, and it caused the tile to crack. That's not my fault. I cannot see that. I don't have no laser vision where I can see behind the tile. I mean at that point,
that tile guy was in the house for 2 weeks and he's been petting the dog and they love him and they practically want to adopt him.
I got another dog he can pet. I guarantee you he will lose his dog. I'll show him
why. Gosh.
But you also don't want to make enemies with like a contractor or a tile guy, I'll say. Like you want to, you know, be friends with everyone, even if sometimes they don't double back their tile.
And I will say this though.
Tile guys around here are ridiculous.
We have started having our guys inspect all the job site before they start. Look for any cracks, look for any chips, look for things. Because customers, if you're in the house and they see something, your guys did it. Mm-hmm. Crack in the curb, crack in the tile, crack on the floor tile, scratch on the
floor. One in there.
Yep.
You're in there right now and that's when they saw it. It's your fault. And we don't argue. Yep, okay. But if we inspect ahead of time, we bring the customer in, ma'am, there's a chip on your curb. We just wanted to show that to you. We didn't want you to think that we chipped your curb. Oh, thank you.
I do the exact same thing. And I'll take pictures before.
Yep.
That is smart. Well, hey, thanks again, Greg. Man, you know, you never fail to deliver. Really appreciate you coming back on. And everybody have a great evening. Hey, remember this. Friends may come and go, but enemies accumulate.
Wow.
See you next time.
Good night.
Thanks, Greg. Night.
Thanks, Greg.
Hi, guys.
Thanks,
Greg. Good night, Chris.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.